Does Hebrews 4 support the Sabbath or undermine it? Welcome to The Good Word. This week we continue our series in the New Testament book of Hebrews. I'm Alden Thompson, Emeritus Professor of Old Testament in the Walla Walla University School of Theology. I am your host and study guide author. My conversation partners are Brant Berglund, Dave Thomas from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Our topic for this week is Jesus, our faithful brother. Now, if we come back, the heading is Jesus, our faithful brother, but it has chapter 4 takes us into the idea of sacred time, and so we'll have to deal with both of those issues here. Hebrews 4 is compact, closely argued chapter that focuses on Sabbath rest, but before we look at the text of chapter 4, let's do a quick overview of the chapter in light of the title, Jesus, our faithful brother. The emphasis on Jesus as our faithful brother is based on Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. In 2, 11 and 12, we read that Jesus was not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Here is God incarnate, declaring that he is not ashamed to be called to call this race of rebels his brothers and sisters. Now the question, does it diminish the greatness of God to say that this great God is also our brother? What kind of conflicting emotions might that set up in our own hearts when we realize that our Creator and Redeemer did not hesitate to call us this basket case of sordid humanity his brothers and sisters?
Well, Alden, as I look at the anthropological views that human beings hold, I think the biblical view of humans is by far the grandest and the highest, that we are noble creatures made in the image of God, but unfortunately damaged by sin. But the first part of that we are noble creatures made in the image of God, places a pretty high premium on humans as beings who should be very carefully minded and watched over and treated with respect and dignity. And so I think for God to speak to of us as brothers and sisters, I think is merely playing off of that understanding of humans, that we are noble creatures who are able to relate to God, although because of sin that is highly complicated and difficult to do. But from God's side, he still views us as noble creatures made in his image with whom he would like to associate. And by the way, when I think of that, I think of that what to me is one of the most beautiful texts in all of Genesis, that talks about God coming down to Eden in the cool of the day to commune with Adam and with Eve. Wow. That's a beautiful picture, of course disrupted by sin. But from God's side, that association still persists.
Now, we're actually going to have parts of two lessons here on the Sabbath, and I want to talk a bit about Hebrews 4 and the Sabbath, having to deal with rest. So Hebrews 3 and 4 place a heavy emphasis on the idea of rest. Primary noun in Greek is katapausis, which both in the New Testament and in the Greek Old Testament, Septuagint, refers to human rest and to divine rest. Now my question is, to what extent is the idea of divine rest not just a command, but an example for us?
Yeah, we see that both here in chapter 4, and we see it in the Old Testament with the fourth commandment in Exodus, not so much in Deuteronomy, but certainly in Exodus, that as God rested, so he invites us to experience that ceasing of labor and ceasing of our own creative juices, which is an amazing thing. God gave us this ability as humans, but he set a precedent for it himself, and then says, now I want you to do it as well. I want you to try it and just see what happens when you do. Rest is exemplified by God.
You know, I find it really intriguing that when he establishes the Sabbath, he doesn't command that it be kept holy. He blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. And of course, he rested on the Sabbath himself. So in a sense, I always do better when I'm not commanded to do something. I hate to be told what to do. And to think that God simply gave us the day and blessed it is a marvelous thing as far as I'm concerned.
You wouldn't have made a good soldier then, Alden.
I know.
Nor would I, but that's okay. So in other words, an invitation is far more engaging and far more likely to elicit a positive response than a command?
Absolutely.
Well, and we don't even have an invitation in Genesis 1, really, and 2 through 4, right? What we have is an example only, and it's more like a child watching mom or dad do something and saying, huh, I wonder if I should do that as well.
But you do raise the issue of sacred time, and it is something that intrigues me in a kind of a sad way, that the sense of anything being sacred is largely lost in our society.
Especially sacred time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not there.
Yeah.
There are, of course, challenges to what the word sacred means as well, right? And how people view that word sacred today.
Yeah, that's true. Now, a question which comes from our study of Hebrews 4 and the Sabbath, is the rest of Hebrews something from the past or for the future or both? Now, there's a rest remaining, but is it something from the past or is it the future or both?
The answer appears to be yes. So there's three different Sabbaths mentioned here. And if we can think broadly, it's for the first one is when Israel came out of Egypt originally. And the psalm that is quoted, I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. They provoked God in the wilderness. But then Joshua takes over and leads them into the promised land and assured Israel that God will give you rest when you conquer all the nations, the wicked nations of who lived in the land of Canaan, and they didn't do that either. And then there exists another rest based on the Sabbath. And so there's really three ideas of rest here being brought out: Israel in the wilderness, Israel in the promised land, and then the rest of God in creation. All of these together form a picture of what God's people should be experiencing. So it isn't just one idea. It's a past experience that God wanted his people to have. They didn't have it because of faithlessness or a lack of belief, as we've already talked about in a previous lesson. But it also pertains to the future, that God still has an ultimate rest that he wants. And apparently his people haven't fully experienced it yet. So it's both.
I could not improve on that answer.
Good. Now, I think there's another aspect here. Often in the New Testament, one here, especially New Testament scholars, talking about the already but not yet. And that reverberates often in the background and foreground of New Testament. Jesus said, for example, the kingdom of God is among you. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees when they asked when the kingdom of God would come. Yet in the Lord's Prayer, we are invited to pray that the kingdom of God will come, clearly a future event. Similarly, the idea of a rest is not only past and present, but also a future expectation. One does not have to choose. It is an already but not yet reality. Now, Bill Johnson brings up another word, and I think this is really intriguing, another word for sabbatismos, for rest. In 4:9, Hebrews states, a Sabbath rest, sabbatismos, still remains for the people of God. That's a brand new word. It's not found anywhere else in the New Testament or in the literature of the first century. Johnson suggests that it is a Sabbath-like rest or Sabbath-ish rest. There's no command, no argument. There is simply the presence of a Sabbath-ish rest. In light of the word usage, Johnson includes this fascinating quote. In my judgment, Hebrews 4:1-11 gives us the strongest evidence in favor of the seventh-day Sabbath in the entire New Testament. Yet it does so without a direct appeal or invitation to keep the Sabbath. A direct appeal might suggest that the Hebrew Christians were debating which day to observe. But Hebrews introduces the Sabbath indirectly in a non-defensive but highly positive manner. Our rest in Christ, says the author, has the quality of the Sabbath. It is like the Sabbath. Now, one last question here. What is the overall thrust of Hebrews 4? If we look at Hebrews 4, what is the overall thrust?
There still remains a Sabbath rest today. I don't need to wait for the future. I don't need to believe that the time is up. Today, today. Don't harden your heart when you hear his voice.
Is that reverberating today, which is there in chapter 3 and moves on to chapter 4. It's something which is, I think, terribly important.
The psalm is quoted at least 3 times here telling us today, right? It's important.
Yeah. This week, we have talked briefly about Jesus, our faithful brother, but also about the issue of rest, as raised in Hebrews 4. Both Hebrews 3 and 4 talk about the today that still remains for us. Today, we can enter into rest. Next week, our topic is Jesus, the giver of rest. My thanks to my conversation partners, Dave Thomas and Brant Berglund, to our program engineer, Harrison Kroschel, and to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.